sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 150. 150. Sasen count. Ernst Sengzegu. Take back your existence or die like a punk. In the immortal words of the great poet Big Rude, operating under a crooked American system too long, outcast, pronounced outcast, adjective meaning homeless or unaccepted in society. But let's look deeper than that. Are you an outcast? If you understand and feel the basic principles and fundamental truth contained within this podcast, I mean this music, you probably are. If you think it's all about pimping hoes and slamming the Cadillac door, you know, okay, let me reread that last line to do it justice. If you understand and feel the basic principles and fundamental truth contained within this music, you probably are. If you think it's all about pimping hoes and slamming Cadillac doors, you probably a cracker or a nigga that think he's a cracker. Or maybe you just don't understand. An outcast is someone who is not considered to be part of the normal world. He is looked at differently. He is not accepted because of his clothes, his hair, his occupation, his belief, or skin color. Now look at yourself. Are you an outcast? I know I am. As a matter of fact, fuck being anything else. It's only so much time left in this crazy world. Wake up, niggas, and realize that what's going on around you. Poisoning of food and water, tampering of cigarettes, disease engineering, controlling over your life. Take back your existence or die like a punk.
Message!
This is Big Rube saying, right onto the real and death to the fakers. Peace out. This definitely deserves a... Later I'll explain how this piece I just shared with you is a defining moment for this podcast. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who answer yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
Okay, let me try that again. I represent and hold it down for black folks who answer yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
That's better. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Butch Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on February 21st, 2024, RIP Malcolm X. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too. Boom, boom. Fuck you too. Boom, boom. Fuck. All right, okay. Okay, let's get the show started, okay? Just my usual reminder or explanation for you new listeners. So check this out. I like to break down my episodes into three parts. I prefer to use the term acts, if you will. The first act is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now. Oh, hold on a second. All right, okay. Sorry, I forgot to turn on my timer. Yeah, first act is the introduction. Second act is using random thoughts. And the last act is final thoughts. To give it some thoughts, right? If you go on the show notes, you'll notice that the sections, the headers are broken down into three sections, plus an additional one called Other Links. In Other Links, you can find Other Links, exactly. I'll explain later at the end of the show. All right, so in the introduction, like I did, so far I've played the, just to wake you up, I gave you the title of the episode, recited some poetry that's usually that will relate to the final thought, and in a way it's kind of an overall theme to this today's episode. And yeah, and you know, after I greet, do my usual greeting, and I do shit like, in the introduction, I like to do shit like remember dates. Now usually I do that on the Saturday episode, on the Monday episodes, well, the ones that are released to you on Mondays, but today I have to recognize that it's the death anniversary of brother Malcolm X. He died on February 21st, 1965. Happy Black History Month, folks. Yeah. Another thing I like to do in the introduction is share some quotes. But this particular quote, or some quote or thought, or just some, you know, just some general wisdom, man. Some each one teach one type shit. And this one, I'm not gonna read it. I'm gonna play a clip by Alex Ely. I hope that's how you pronounce. Like if it was French, it's Alex L. But I'm gonna assume she means to pronounce it in English. And her TikTok name is Ease with Alex. Oh, cool. All right. And yeah. Now before I hit play, I gotta bring out, because I'm a guy with eyes able to see, and damn, she fine. She a pretty. She a fine, pretty woman. Like she about to spit some wisdom, but I have to bring up. Like I'm looking at her, and I'm like, damn. If I believed in God, she'd be one of her angels. Whatever. Okay, she'd be an angel. All right, here we go.
I know this is easier said than done, but I'm going to need you to try. Okay? Let people be wrong about you. I know. You want to defend yourself. You want people to understand. You want folks to get it. You want to explain. But let them be wrong. Sometimes your peace is so much more important than someone understanding where you're coming from. The older I get, the more I realize that I'd rather be wrong than fussing, fighting, and carrying on. So one of my favorite things to say when I don't have it in me, when I don't have the energy, is, okay, that's it. Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful. She right, folks. She right. I don't think a lot of you youngsters may not understand this shit, but I mean, I'm not going to elaborate. But I'm just going to say, if I could tell you what changed about me, if you want to know what to all the people wondering, what the fuck? Why are you different? It's because I've learned to value inner peace over everything, anything. And yeah, 9 times out of 10, if I don't get along with you, slightly because you're fucking with my inner peace. I don't know. You know, she also reminded me. This also reminded me of all those relationships and how badly I wanted the other person to understand my side of the story and completely and was willing to. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just. This is a valuable lesson, kids. All right. It's like I'm trying to explain to you youngsters. Yeah, that's what's going to be different about you. Like, you look at your life now, and when you get old, If you're lucky, you'll be wise to have realized how much you value your inner peace over everything. And that inner peace is where a lot of your that confidence you didn't have as a child, well, that's where it's going to come from. All right. Okay. So that's it for the introduction. Now let's jump to news and random thoughts and keep the show going. All right. Okay. Let's hold on a second. All right. Behind the scenes shit. So I have this. Hold on a second. Okay, start it. Stop laughing. I have this. This tool I use to play my sound effects, and I rearrange my buttons. I'm laughing at the fact that I fucked myself up during the show. But here we go. All right, let's play. Let's do this. Ah, I love that sound. I fucking love that sound. Okay, let's do this. First item on the docket. Oh, right, man. I woke up this morning. I mean, I struggle out of bed, but and I have this bad habit of going on Twitter. But one of the rare times I like going on Twitter is a post that I saw by Talal Macy. So I'm laughing because if you listen to my podcast, I reference that name a whole lot, a lot of times. And I'm a fan of the dude. I'm a big fan, and he's like my hidden gem. Okay, I'll explain that. What do I mean by that? But anyways, my point is, he posted something about, and I'll read the caption. It's a picture of him holding a whole bunch of packages. I think he's at, I was going to say Canada Post, but whatever the Canada Post equivalent is in the United States. American Post? U.S. Post? Whatever, man, but he's at the post office, and he's got a whole bunch of packages in his hand, and the quote goes, "Today's Trouble Soul Refinery packages were shipped out of the U.S., U.K., and Canada. All books were personally signed. Please know the love is greatly appreciated. Of course, feel free to hit me with any questions. Bless." And then purchase link. You know, where do I start? Okay, first thought, let me go from negative to positive. A negative meaning inside me personally, negative, not him. The post was great. I'm clapping. Clap for him, man. Okay, hold on a second. Clap for him, like Jay-Z said. Hold on, let me give him a good for you, bro. Good for you. Congratulations. Shout out to Talal Macy. Shout out to Talal Macy for writing the second book and giving me something to smile at and inspiring me to, I jumped on it. Like, I remember seeing the post. It might have been on Sunday. Look, I'm laughing. I remember doing my finances and say, man, I can't spend shit, man. I got to control my spending and shit like that. And then I go on Twitter, see his post about his book, and I'm like, jumped on it. It's rare that I do shit like that. I just jumped on it. I saw the link. I clicked on it. Because I have his first book, so I had to buy the second one. It has all his lyrics in there, man. Anyways, I'm a fan of the guy. Again, big fan. So clicked on the link, and shout out to him for having a PayPal account. Because, if you want me to buy your shit, make sure you use a reputable, make it easy for me to go, here's my credit card. Click a button. Anyway, so, and that means a businessman. Anyway, so, blah, 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 click, click, click. And then next thing you know, I remember seeing shipping costs. Like, fuck. See, this is what kills me. I wish you Americans understand. I saw shipping costs. Like, fuck. Okay, come on. It's Talal Macy. And then conversion rate. Like, fuck. But I still hit submit because I have this bad habit of if I overthink it, I won't do it. I'll just be like, maybe I should, maybe I could, but boom, I just did it. But I remember feeling a sense of pride of myself, but here's what I meant by negative. I was convinced, sorry, okay, I'm laughing at myself now, right? I was convinced I was going to be the first one to make a purchase. Me or two people, right? I was convinced it was just going to be me, right? I was convinced that, you know, there's no bigger fan of Talal Macy than me. Well, at least not in Canada, right? And So I was gonna, it was just gonna be me because, you know, I went from, I wish I could remember how long, how old that post was when he announced his second book and I made that purchase. But it was like shortly, like I don't make decisions quickly. It is the first time that I make it quickly and then boop, 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 right? So then when I see this post and he goes, US, UK, Canada. Wait, why is Canada last? Dude, what the fuck? UK, you got fans? I miss the days when we were his only international fans that I know of, that I knew of, right? So a bit of, a part of me was jealous. I felt like joking about how replying to the tweet, I'm like, man, I'm jealous, man. I thought we were, first I went, I thought we were your, I was your only international fan too. I thought I was your okay, I don't know how long homie's been in the business, but he's been at it for a while. Now this is where I get positive, right? Throughout this whole experience, okay, I mean, I'm joking about the negative, but yeah, throughout the whole experience, man, I was happy for the guy. There was like a happiness that was, I was happy for him. I was happy for me. I was happy that he was holding, he was possibly holding my package in his hand and how he said he signed it. It's not just the sign, but it's more, I can sense his gratitude. There was like, yeah, I guess what I'm saying, yeah, holy shit. Okay, I like to bitch a lot about the world. I'm just trying to express there was a moment of happiness this fucking morning, which doesn't happen a lot during life. So I have to acknowledge it. It was just a mutual, like, we are fam. I don't know. I can't explain it, but just like, there was a moment of happiness. I can't explain any more clear than that. Like, sunshine in my life. It was like you know, I'm in therapy bitching a lot about life. And then, like, I feel like saying, like, this was one of those rare moments that I'm like, you know what? Okay, maybe I'm not going to bitch about life. Anyways, I was happy for the guy. Two, I admired his, how do I say this? I want to call it his version of success. Or his kind of, his success. Now, I use the word version of success because, you know, I'm going to blame the fact that English is my second language, but no, I don't talk well. What I mean by his version of success is I'm so used to, perfect example, Drake. What's that expression? What's that line about him? Bracelet says you should quit. Car says fuck your life. I'm used to rappers. Drake is probably the perfect example. He goes, I'm the one who made it. I'm a success. Why am I a success? Because I'm selling music that's popular. It's playing on the radio. Your girlfriend wants to fuck me. Your homies want to be down with me. I got all this money. Successful amount to have money and having sex. Sorry, I got a poem by Talal Basie playing in my head. You know, something, I'm on cardiac arrest. So I'm used to, even in comedy, right? All of us comedians, when I was doing comedy, during my comedy days when I was quote unquote grind, not really grinding, but trying to grind, pretending like I was grinding. That was the quest. You wanted your Netflix special. You wanted to be recognized. You wanted to walk in the club and they're like, oh shit, oh my God, be black. Okay, you know what? We had a whole bunch of open micers that we're going to put on, but we're going to tell them to go fuck themselves. You know, you wanted to be, money, cash, hoes. That was success. I guess it was money and having sex and being recognized. But him, now, I don't know how much money he makes from poetry, but he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't talk about it. It's, let me put it this way. If there's a high revenue from poetry, it's not the image he portrays. Yo, I'm making banks from this poetry shit. It's two things. It's, look, this is me being my authentic self. I don't think Talal Basie, when he's writing his poetry, he's not bullshitting me. He's not like, yo, like these rappers. He's saying real shit, thought-provoking shit. Like the kind of shit, I still remember seeing him the first time at Mercury Lounge. What was the first poem that got my attention? Doesn't matter. But he was on stage, his presentation, and I'm like, what the fuck? It was love at first sight. I became fan at first sight. And I say Mercury Lounge. If you're from Ottawa, you'll know that Mercury Lounge is not around. Is Mercury Lounge still around? Anyway, whatever, man. But it's a club that was around during the 90s. So I think I saw him. Was it during the 90s? It doesn't matter. Saw him a long time ago, and I've been a fan ever since. And not just that a fan ever since, but I remember seeing him in the States. Homie sees me, and he remembered my name. Blew my mind. Going back to success. His success is, yeah, the second part of his success is, you can tell it's, I was good at this poetry shit, and I'm only getting better. I'm just constantly getting better. Like, I can't control whether or not you come see me. What I can control is whether I get better at it, whether I get more authentic, whether I just constant elevation. I didn't realize we're going to talk a lot about this, but anyway, whatever, man. But I want to mimic his version of success, that kind of success. I think that's the other appreciation that I have is I'm never going to be a Dave Chappelle. Or if I was, I can't think about being a Dave Chappelle. But I can think more about, okay, I was going to say I could be a Talon Macy. No, not a Talon Macy, but I could be more his version of success. Like, I would model that. I would go to his school. Oh, my God, I'm sorry. The volume's allowed. I would go to his school. Oh, man, I'm going to do a lot of editing on this fucking podcast. Sorry, the levels are high, and I'm probably bursting your eardrums. Okay, you can't tell, but the levels are like, the corner of my eyes, I've been noticing red and whatever. Okay, what was I saying? Yeah, I would go to his school of success. I mean, provided it's not expensive. No, what I'm saying is, joking aside, is when I think about, not my work, when I think about this podcast, this comedy, these side gigs, and I think of, I model his version of success. That's what I aim for. There's one, I think my biggest part is, I can't remember what the poem was, but basically he established that, yo, when I'm on stage, I perform for the audience, not for my ego. And I've hung on to that principle. And, oh my God, thinking about that version of success is probably what got me through listening to other comics bitch about how, let's put it this way, one of my least favorite conversations with comedians is when a comedian who's more advanced than you, more who's made more progress than you, bitch about the progress they haven't made. I fucking hated those conversations. Because the whole time I'm like, oh shit, if you've grind that much and you didn't make it, fuck, what are the chances? Like, it was just discouraging shit. I talked about, on the letter I sent to 3GO, I talked about how, yo, I love doing comedy, but I fucking hated trying to turn that shit into a full-time job, even though I wanted it to be a full-time job. That's what I'm saying is, I'm looking at Talon Macy's, the way he goes about it. It doesn't feel like, I don't know if he first started out, that was his intention to make it into a full-time gig. But I see poet. I don't see poetry as my job, if that makes any sense. I don't do poetry. I am a poet. You know what I mean? Like, I do IT shit. I do IT work. That's my job. But it's not my identity. But I want comedy and pot. You know, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Okay, I'm trying to say I want this shit to be, I guess the control, the bottom line is, be in control of the shit I can control. I can make every episode better than the last episode. I can make every time I go on stage better than the last time I was on stage. That I can control. Fuck my job. I mean, but anyways, my whole point to all this is, yo, clap for her, man. I just wanted to say congratulations. sorry. Yeah, congratulations to Talal Mesi on your second book. And I look forward to getting it in the mail. Yeah. So what's beautiful is after he posted that, I got the email saying, yep, it's been shipped. And I checked my bank account, and then it was charged. Anyway, so here we are. All right. Shit. Okay, let's run now through. Man, that was a long-ass segment, but okay, let's try to keep it short. All right, I'm going to play this one here. So on the last episode, I talked about Monique. And you know what? The more and more I'm learning about this whole Monique situation, the more I'm learning about Monique, the more I'm confirming that, yeah, she is a toxic human being that I would not want. Okay, I'm not going to pick on Monique. I'm going to pick on the people like her or who admire her. The basic toxic people, man. Toxic people. I mean, you know, I'm sure she's got her grievance and whatnot. You know, I hope you get your papers, sister. Get all your thing. But the fucking fake facade drives me nuts. So this clip I'm going to play is, unfortunately, I do not know the name of the content creator. It was posted by the Savoy, come on, so the Savoy show, Savoy. In French, it'd be Savoy show, but S-A-V-O-Y. Again, English is my second language. And by the way, that's my excuse. Every time I fuck up in communication, I blame the fact that English is my second language. Or I say, fuck the white man's language. All right, okay. Now I'm going to play this clip. And what I like about this content creator is how she's addressing Monique's style of motherhood. And the kind of people she attracts. So here we... Okay, honey, I wish there was a way to hit refresh. Okay, hit refresh. And then here we go. Unmute.
Honestly. Mothers are the worst mothers because their entire life is dedicated to choosing men over their children. A lot of y'all were very triggered in the comments because Monique is just a mirror. She reminds you so much of yourself, okay, of your narcissistic behavior, of the way you traumatized your child. So you're getting sick and you're in my comments and you're saying, I'm not going to kiss my child's ass. I'm not going to message my child. They need to message me, blah, blah, blah. Your behavior and that thought process is the reason that you're going to be 75 years old in a nursing home having to sell whole for the last cup of red jello, okay? Don't play with us. You cannot expect your adult children to take care of you in your old age if you treated them like crap. And I'm not even talking about just the childhood stuff. I'm talking about the behaviors that you continue to do when they become adults. And you're not even willing to sit and listen and see how you can fix it. You want the universe to bring your child back to you when it wasn't the universe that effed up the relationship in the first place. Y'all got to be so for real. If you are committed to choosing men over your children, you better have a plan for your life when you get old, because one day he might die. Then what? You're going to lean on the children that you mistreated? And then all of you saying, well, you know, she might be a better grandparent. Well, she still has adult children that she fucked up and she needs to fix that. And most of the times they're not better grandparents. They're absent grandparents and just put the trauma that they did to you as a kid and an adult onto your child. No, we're not doing this. Monique is a mirror for narcissistic moms that choose men over their children. And Shalon is a mirror for oldest children that were discarded.
Okay, I think the biggest takeaway is narcissistic moms, mothers who place their men over their children. Yeah, man, some parents, I swear, man, not talking about mine, but some parents are probably the worst thing that happened to their child. The worst thing that happened to their child. And when they say stupid shit like, you know, well, fuck, I gave you birth, and you want to answer to them, I didn't want it. Thank you for putting me in this fucking life. I know that's a cruel thing to say, and I'm worried that the people who I'm not talking about are going to be like, oh, you know, this is what life is really like. It's usually like that. The people I'm not talking about are the ones who are going to be like, oh, shit, okay, I need to do more. And the people I am talking about will be like, you talking about me? But let me just make my point. Okay, I'm just speaking my truth here. I have a friend who's like, who's currently dealing with putting her mom in a nursing home, taking care of her mother because she's, like, you know, getting old and shit like that and needs to be taken care of. And, man, the suffering that poor woman is going through is the friend of mine. And because she's dealing with a mother that she never really got along with growing up. I mean, she did the whole mother role, the authoritarian part. She did the discipline, yeah, food over, roof over her head and all that shit, you know, the minimum, the bare minimum. But everything else, it's like, here we go. Parents who are like, who think bullying and parenting are the same thing. That's what I'm saying. I guess I'm talking about parents who couldn't make the distinction between bullying and parenting. That's who I'm talking about. Those are the ones who are like the worst thing to happen to their children. There's parenting. Yeah, sure. You know what I mean? You try to help this child grow up to be an adult so they can take care of themselves. And then there's fucking, look, life sucks and I'm going to take it out on you. Or I just need another human being who's going to worship me. Anyway, I'm going off track. So when it comes to, I say this, I bring this clip, I bring this up because on the last episode, I didn't bring it up because I didn't want to talk long about it, but or I didn't know the thought that I was trying to say. But in the there's a clip of Monique talking about how after her son goes viral. And I guess she took it as a disrespect. She went from, you know, oh, my son's going through mental illness. Of course she wouldn't make it. He's fucked up. I never missed a treat. Whatever. Now there's a clip of her doing stand-up comedy and then saying shit about, man, fuck that kid. And when I saw that clip, I just took it as everything I needed to know about your side of the story was just revealed in that clip. I don't know. I'm talking about Monique. But I'm really talking about the Moniques of the world. You read the Bible, honor thy parents. Yeah, it's scratchy. If I'm talking about it, it's because it's, like I do agree with the notion of if you're mad at something, it says more about you than the actual thing. And yeah, no, there's a psychological itch about this whole Monique situation. But here we are. Yeah. I wish I could, like, be more intellectual about the thought, but it is what it is. Okay, moving on. Actually, I swear, if you're a psychiatrist, you'll probably be able to, like, you've probably figured me out by this, okay? And I say this in response to this next clip I'm about to play. And it's, the title goes, I'm just going to play it, right? This is Microsoft CEO Steve Baldwin. Baldwin's initial reaction to the launch of Apple's iPhone in 2005. Here we go.
What was your first reaction when you saw that?
$500 fully subsidized with a plan? I said, that is the most expensive phone in the world, and it doesn't appeal to business customers because it doesn't have a keyboard, which makes it not a very good email machine. Now, it may sell very well or not. We have our strategy. We've got great Windows Mobile devices. Okay. Right now, we're selling millions and millions and millions of phones a year. Apple is selling zero phones a year. In 6 months, they'll have the most expensive phone by far ever in the marketplace. And let's see. What's the expression? Let's see how the competition goes.
So this is Steve Baldwin. Steve Ballmer, sorry. I see Baldwin Balmer talking shit about the iPhone. Them niggas ain't gonna go nowhere. Remember, this is Microsoft. Was this before or after Zune? Okay. The real reason why I'm sharing this clip, I don't think you understand how much I enjoy. Like, next to getting pussy, I love watching clips of old people getting it wrong. Internet, man, that shit's a fad. Who the fuck is gonna go on the internet to watch porn? You fucking go to your catalog. That's not what he says, but I love when the old folks didn't get it right. Now, hold on a second. Oh, you gonna ring? God damn it. Sorry, that was my timer. Okay, I'm over time, but whatever. My goddamn podcast. Yeah, I love hearing this because growing up, I was surrounded by, I guess, narcissistic adults who were like, hey, I'm the next thing closest to Moses. I'm going to tell you your future. So I've always had to grow up with this idea that adults, not just adults, it's old people know better. And it's funny going into this technological world, this technology world, that, I don't know, maybe in the old days there was a reason to respect your elders, but now, holy shit. It's like, I don't have respect for people who don't have the ability to adapt to new ideas, new way of doing things. Who knows? Maybe by the time I get old, that's going to be a bad thing. But right now, as it stands, yeah, no, I enjoyed moments like these. Especially my favorite is, because this is Microsoft. I remember hearing that the guy who, I forget his name, not that it matters. It should matter because he's Canadian, but nah, fuck it, doesn't matter. BlackBerry. He, when the BlackBerry was popular and they had like their monochrome screen, I think when the iPhone came out, they were like, fuck. Who the fuck needs colors? Motherfucker gonna love this monochromatic screen. Is that the term? Whatever, this black and white. Basically, a lot of the features that were in the iPhone, they were like, man, niggas ain't gonna like that shit. These guys. And then I won't lie, man. I remember when BlackBerry came out, I held on. I held on to my BlackBerry because I was an old guy and I had fat fingers, and that fucking keyboard on the screen did not work out for me. Turns out it worked out for everyone else. But I remember believing that, yeah, man, iPhones are for the children. BlackBerry are for the adults. And then I had to give up my BlackBerry. And because I was stubborn, I got an Android, even though I hate this fucking screen. I hate typing on the screen. Oh, my God. That's something you didn't come to listen to me rant about the screen on the keyboard. But it is fucking funny hearing this shit. If you're into that kind of shit, links are in the show notes. All right. Okay. Let's do this. Hey. All right. Sorry. This was me testing my levels. Okay. Let's do this. Next. Oh, right. Okay. I'm not going to play this whole thing, right? But I'll just try to summarize the story. There's a clip on the internet, if you haven't seen it. Of this, it starts out first. Just two clips. First clip is, and the first clip, and I mean in the order it came out, starts with a woman, young lady, explaining how let's see if I could play it. I'm gonna play the, you know what? Fuck, I just tell. Okay, it's a story about the daughter who goes online and talks about how her father abandoned her as a child. And to pursue a career in breakdancing. But the way she explained it, it wasn't like a poor me story. It was more like, ha, ha, ha. I mean, there was probably like, yeah, he's fucked up. But it was also like, this nigga went breakdancing. But also how he became famous as a breakdancer. I just didn't think nothing of it. And fast forward, then later, her dad, I guess, must have seen the clip. There's Hollywood folks, by the way, you know, white folks. No, that's not true, okay? It's not the fact that's wifeful, because I'm thinking of the story because I'm thinking of the Monique situation. That's why. And I remember when the father did his response, it was a 10-minute clip. It had me thinking about, oh, man, how much I would hate for my parents to hear this podcast. I mean, ain't shit I could do about it, right? But hear this podcast and be like, and all they hear is, oh, this nigga's shitting on us. Which is not the intention. Which, anyways, so the father comes out, gives his perspective, 10 minutes, whatever, right? And first, homie had me going. Basically, he said, look, man, okay, little fucking girl, what do these kids know? First of all, me and her mom were divorced, all right? And then, by the way, 10-minute clip response about... Like, he's being, like, all, like, fake smile-ish. At the time I took it, I actually believed it. Maybe I wanted to believe it. But it sounds like he was making some, here's my perspective. And, of course, the two completely different. He explains his side. It's, look, I didn't abandon her. I was divorced. I paid a shitload of money in child support. I only lived a block away from the house. And yes, I did do breakdance, but breakdance was my side gig and yada, 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 yada. Basically, he made it sound like this little girl's tripping. Right? But apparently, okay, I'm going to jump in the comment section because I love the comment section on Reddit. Oops. And he goes, I love the top comment. He goes, what a wild ride that was. Okay. And yeah, so shout out to Iz. Do I really need to give you a username? Anyway, and they responded with, excuse me. Got this. I was going to accuse someone of putting a curse on me, but then I remember the air quality in this room sucks. It is not the first time I have a coughing fit in here. If you know how to fix that shit, please talk to me. Let me know. Anyway, whatever. I have an air purifier, but it's turned off, all right, because, you know, the podcast. Okay, is. They respond with, she also put out a response video to this. TLDR, too long to read. Excuse me, too long, didn't read. For that one, dad lived a block away for maybe 1 month. Huh, okay, he left out that detail. She doesn't think she has ever visited her dad's place. He is estranged and they don't speak regularly. He lives across the country with a new wife. Oh, wow. Her whole family is confused that he thinks they are close. I watched it like 7 hours ago, so just recapping it, what I remember. Some details could be hazy. Oh, edit. Lots of people asking about the $5 million, I guess the child support. She said she was a kid, so wasn't very familiar with the financial side of the divorce. She asked him to help cover medical costs while in college, and he did not help. Okay, all right, whatever, man. Welcome to the internet, man. This new information age where people are putting out their family businesses out there. All right. So, yes, I saw this clip and I did because I was thinking about what I said about Monique past previous and yeah, some of the shit I do on this podcast is air out dirty laundry. Well, I didn't look at it as dirty laundry. I'm honestly a preacher's kid. I should probably tell you, look, man, I'll tell you this. This is the reality. Anyone who convinces you they have a perfect life, they have their pretty life, that they don't have any dirty laundry, is full of shit. Now, sure, people are entitled to their privacy. I don't deny that. But I'm also being realistic. I guess it's years and years I'm repressing because of years and years of pretending shit didn't smell, has turned me into, nah, fuck it. Look, man, smell this shit. Smell it. Take a whiff. All right? Look. All right? This is our doo-doo right here, right here, right ever, right? My intention is not to hurt feelings or whatnot. It is like, because it's things that I would never do. I would have never done, right? If trust me, man, if I could go back in the future, if I could go back in the past, if I could tell my younger self what I'm doing, he'd be like, fuck it, I gotta kill you. And I consider the possibility that I'm doing shit that I mean later regret later on. God forbid I try to host the Oscars. Or I'm trying to bang some broad and then who values shit like their relationship with their parents and I'm lying to her about, like, yeah, no, whatever. Okay, to be honest, what I was thinking about, This is the real case, being real with you, man. When I saw the dad respond to his daughter's post or the Monique situation, it had me thinking about how much I worry about portraying an inaccurate or an unfair image about the people I speak about. Because that's not my intention. But I guess it can happen. It can happen. So the easiest way to not do it is keep my mouth shut. Not say shit. Shut up, like the podcast, like the title of this podcast. But then again, the point of this podcast is for me to share my truth. It's for me to value my perspective. I guess years and years of just spending a significant part of my life repressing my perspective, not giving it value out of fear of hurting someone else's feelings. And I exploded into this, you know? But I'm careful not to use actual names and whatnot. I guess I'm just going to leave it as it's a concern I do have of unfairly portraying someone. That's not the intention. All I'm doing is sharing my perspective. You know what? I think this is one of those things that makes sense to a certain group of other people, and it's a certain group of people, and others will just be like, I'm considering the fact, you know, because I value the whole treat others like you want to be treated, or what if it was in your shoes, right? I'm trying to picture a podcast like mine, and God forbid. No, let me put it this way. If my brother were to do a podcast like mine and talk about me, I would dismiss it. Dismiss it in the sense that, I mean, I wouldn't listen to him, because the difference between him and I is I'm, like, introspective about this shit. Like, I know already what he's going to say, how he's going to, like, I don't expect to be surprised. I don't expect any vulnerability. I don't expect any, it's going to be, okay, I'm not going to talk about him, but there's, not just him, but just, there's certain people that, that's exactly what I'm saying. There are certain people who are committed to misunderstanding you. And that's one thing, right? So I guess I'm thinking about, yeah, so if someone were to come out with a podcast and they talked about me and said something that I considered unflattering, I mean, on one end, I would respect, that's what it is. On one end, I would respect that's their truth. But I guess where I would draw the line, if they were like, hey, because I think they're fucked up, then you got to believe they're fucked up. Right? Or there's only one way to see this shit, and it's my way. I guess, you know, that's what it is, man. But I guess that's what this conflict is about. You know, I've never been in a situation where two people come together and be like, oh, win-win situation. See, that's what it is about. I'm going to bring back the Monique situation. Something else I resent about the Moniques of the world is like, and why I call them toxic is because, or call them toxic is because, if God forbid you have a misunderstanding with these people, they're not trying to resolve that misunderstanding. They're trying to like fucking Israel over, they're trying to like nuke you. They're trying to like, there's only one way to look at this conflict, and it's my way. I was right, you were wrong. Oh, perfect example. Okay, great example is, unfortunately, I didn't think I'd talk about it, is Kid Mero versus, unfortunately, the Bodega Boys. Now, Kid Mero just recently did a podcast, and he talked about how his conflict with what went wrong and between those two. To be honest with you, I honestly did not, I don't need to know. I know that, yo, y'all had beef, y'all had a difference of opinion, difference of vision, y'all had irreconcilable differences. Basically, y'all got to a point where let's just agree to disagree and went your separate ways. I can accept that. I don't need to know the fucking details. So, Kid Mero, in his attempt to, and again, I'm basing this on the trailer, in his attempt to say like, yo, okay, I know I wasn't perfect, but you lost me after but this nigga wasn't trying to be, he was trying to be Hollywood. He wasn't being business minded. He wasn't focused on this. It felt too much like it was an attempt to say like, yo, I'm trying to be objective about what happened. Nah. Like, I guess, yeah, all you could do is, okay, let me get back to you. Yeah, all you could do is share your own truth. But getting back to the Monique situation, right? Reason I don't like people like that is because when you have a conflict with them, their version of resolution is win-lose. It's my truth. Fuck your truth. Fuck the way you handle it. It's, I was right, you were wrong, and that's all they want. Like, for them, the only way this thing can be resolved is you yelling uncle. You saying, yeah, you're right. All right, I fucked up. I was wrong. you fucked my girl, and I got upset over it, and I made a big deal out of it, but you were right. I should have just repressed it, and you know, don't acknowledge my humanity in this experience, in this situation. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a majority of human beings are like that, but if there's one of the reasons I choose solitude over everything else, or I prefer solitude, is because it's rare that I find a human being who's willing that when we do have a conflict, they're like, let's straighten it out. And like their version of straightening out doesn't mean I talk, you shut up. I mean, forever. yes, I need you to understand my perspective and it stops there. But I'm not gonna reciprocate. Like, shout out to Stephen Covey, me, RIP. Seek first to understand, then be understood. I used to try that shit with people, and the caveat to that fifth habit, whatever that habit is, the caveat is you only seek first to understand, then be understood with people who are willing to reciprocate that shit. Yeah, man. No, some people just love the conflict. They love continuing the conflict or only ending the conflict with you saying, yeah, I give up. You're right, I was wrong. There is no fair imbalanced way to look at this shit. Anyway, all right, okay. That's it. Okay. So last clip I'm going to share, and this is more for comedy, before we get to news and final thought, is, man, I babble on. Damn, it's late. But, sorry. I'm having a conflict with myself. I'm like, fuck. It's about toys, too. But then again, it's my goddamn podcast. All right. Okay. So I love this one here. It's this is one of those clips. It'd be better if you could see it yourself. It's I'm gonna play it and then try to describe it for you, right? And then if you've seen this already, you know what I'm talking about. But the caption reads, "I'm exposing all y'all married cheating ass ninjas all in 2024." Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, real shit. But can't you stop doing that shit?
Why?
Why do you want to keep doing dumbass shit, bro?
Why? You just don't want your wife to see?
Bro, hey, real shit, stop, bro. Bro, turn the fucking camera off, bro. I'm not
no.
playing with you, bro.
You don't want your wife to see?
Bro, get out the car, please.
It's because you're
get
married.
Get out the car, please.
I gotta get the car because you're married.
Bro, stop not trying to put my fucking hands on you, bro.
I gotta get out the car because you're married.
Real shit, turn your... Bro, turn your fucking phone on, bro.
Gotta be quicker than that.
Gotta
be quicker than that.
Get out, bro. Get out.
Okay,
out,
I'm gonna get
bro.
Out, but I'm gonna take my phone
get
with
the
me.
Car, bro.
I'm gonna take my phone with
me.
Get out the car, bro.
Yeah, I think this is likely a skit.
Yeah.
This is likely a skit. Okay, two reasons I'm sharing this, right? First reason is, yeah, I'm not gonna deny you, I'm gonna disappoint some of you with this, but the titties on this chick. Oh my god. I'm like, look, she's got a lot of cleavage, and I'm looking at her being like, Like I'm distracted by the cleavage to focus on the moral aspect of this. See, because the internet has changed this into, was she in the wrong for exposing the buried man? The second reason why I'm sharing this is because I recently listened to Naughty by Nature's album, their first album. First album, whatever, the Naughty by Nature one. The one that's got OPP on there. And I was thinking about how, like, re-listening to, as a mature adult now, re-listening to those lyrics, it had me thinking about, yo, that's Tretch's truth. That's his truth. I mean, that's what the song was about. There's the particular category of human beings on Earth that they love violating the rules of a monogamous relationship. There are some people who just get off on, what do I get off on? You know, like, that's their drug is either cheating on their spouse, cheating on their significant, on their partner, or sleeping with someone else's partner. Like, that, they get off that shit. It's to the, like, I, like, for all the, okay, I remember there was a time where I was like, my biggest fear was being cheated on. But then now I'm realizing that, yo, if I ever get cheated on, no, that's casualty, man. It was, don't diss yourself for it, except just if you're going to criticize, if you're going to be mad at yourself, be mad for misjudging that person. But there are some people who are like, nah, monogamous relationship won't do. I need to have sex with someone who's with a partner. I need to know that someone else is like the taboo part about it is. My point is, I listened to the song OPP and I started to overthink. This is where the summary of this conversation is. So I'm looking at this shit here, and this woman talking about, yeah, I'm exposing married men. It had me thinking about, lady, you're not no hero. Like, I'm really overthinking about. On one end, I'm like, come on, there's no honors among. I don't know. I don't know whether to look at it as me buying weed from my. Okay, back in the days when weed was illegal. Me being buying weed from. Okay, perfect example. Me procuring the service of an escort. And then she makes a video about, look at this loser. Look at this chump. You know what I mean? He sleeps with prostitutes. Look at him and stuff like that. I'm like, I might be a John, but you're not better than me. You ain't no hero. You ain't exposing shit. I guess that's how I'm seeing it. It's making me laugh. Okay, I'm taking this shit seriously, but I'm really entertained by this. It's tickling my thoughts. This lady is like, I'm exposing married men, but I'm like, sure, but aren't you like violating a code? Like, there should be. I don't condone cheating, but I'm saying if you're gonna cheat, respect the boundaries. Yo, you know how you realize how this shit is funny? Anyways, I titled this link under "When You're No Longer Down with OPP." Because I can remember, oh my God, I'm not going to go through the whole song. I'm not going to go through the song, but I'm like, there's a something about how she catching feelings. There's a verse about, yeah, he sleeps with a married woman or a woman who's a partner who's cheating on her spouse. And then she's getting feelings. And she's like, child, please. I got to go. Anyways, all right. Okay. All right. Okay. This concludes using random thought. Let's jump to final thought. And then we get to call it a recess, or you guys get to go home. All right. Hold on a second. Let's do this. Right. If I'm freaking out by the way I rearranged my button, because the place where I usually put this is now replaced with this. Which I don't, it's a sound I don't usually play on the podcast, but all right, okay. What's up with today's title? What's up with the title? What's up with the title? Yes. Here's the thing. I might call it Or Die Like a Punk, or because Take Back Your Existence. Either that. Take Back Your Existence, Or Die Like a Punk, or the whole sentence. But that's kind of long. I don't know if there's a limit to how much I could put in the title, but that's not the point. Okay, what's up with the title? It came from... The Outkast's first album, fucking gold, classic. Well, everything's classic these days, but no, it's a dope-ass album. I think the more I listen to it, the more I appreciate it. And they have a little skit or a little portion by Big Rube, and I love it, and where he explains the concept of being an outcast. I remember the first time when he first thought, are you an outcast? What's the line that caught me? He goes, let's look deeper than that. Are you an outcast? Oh, yeah. If you understand and feel the basic principles and fundamental truths contained within this music, you probably are. If you think it's about pimping holes or slamming Cadillac doors, another way to say it is, I'm thinking of Jay-Z. How do you rate music that thug relate to? Do you listen to music or do you just skim through it? I am You know, I think I'm just gonna read what I wrote because there's so many thoughts that I could go there. First, I'm gonna start with, it's amazing how it took 150 episodes for me to finally realize what I was trying to say in the intro when I say, I hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City. And I didn't realize at the time what I was trying to say, but I'm realizing, because that line evolved into what it is today. I represent and hold it down for black folks who answer yes to the question, are you an outcast? And then I proceed to explain how I represent for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City. That's another way of saying I'm black, I'm Canadian, live in Ottawa, Ontario, which is like 2 hours away from Montreal. I was born in Montreal. So I'm black, Canadian, speak French, and grew up watching TV shows that influenced my life, that had a strong influence on my life to a point where it's made me different than some of you. Shout out to my dad. Okay, I'm going to give my dad props as growing up is... I remember when I first discovered this whole, my identity, my blackness, I became aware of my blackness, right? And of course, he's a wise man, and I was convinced that all black people, you need to unite, we're all the same, we're all black people, we don't, you know, let's get together and feel all right. And my dad was like, nah, we're all different, we're not all the same. I'm like, nah, we're not. Anyways, yeah, but I was too young to understand the point he was making. Now, he was, okay, I'm sticking to, it's only later that I realize the wisdom in his words is, he probably meant it differently, but it, along the same idea is how black people, we need to acknowledge the fact that we are a fucking diverse, a motherfucking diverse group. The white man did not do us any favor by showing up to Africa and being like, yeah, you're all black. Africa is a big-ass continent. You know, that's a longer speech, right? But we are a very diverse group. So it's funny how we took 150 episodes to realize that. Part of what this podcast is about, or who my target audience is, are people who can relate to feeling like an outcast. Now, when I say outcast, I don't mean like reject. I mean whatever, maybe reject. Here, standing out is, it's not just being an outcast. Like, I've always known I was an outcast. But my thing is, even as I speak to you, talking about I'm an outcast, I have this nasty habit of trying to fit in. It's always been my thing. So, try to fit in. Fitting in is, I think there's something engraved in my mind where I need to conform. Even when I thought I was being a rebel, I always conformed. It's so weird. And then I put it this way. There was one time where I was like, because I listened to hip hop, that made me an outcast because I'm surrounded by white people. This was in the early days of hip-hop, where hip-hop was new. People thought it was a passing fad. And I remember I listened to hip-hop, and that set me aside. And there was a comfort in being like, all right, fuck y'all then. Then hip-hop got popular. Then I'm like, I don't like hip-hop anymore. But even I was looking at hip-hop, where I would conform is, there was a rule of, okay, because I listen to hip-hop, I'm not allowed to listen to rock and roll or any other music. I have to have this opinion. I have to walk this way. I have to love spending, buying expensive ass clothes that I can't fucking afford. I gotta talk this way. I gotta walk this way. Talk this way. You know what I mean? Even then I was conformed. I remember when, and this is where I was going on the last episode, Dr. Umar 149, Dr. Umar and Erykah Badu. How when I was growing into my blackness, I'm like, okay, in order for me to convince the world that I'm black, because it wasn't enough to be black. Message, it wasn't enough to be black. I had to convince people I was black. So I would model my behavior to the Dr. Umars of the world. Okay, what? No white woman? Fine. No eating pork? Fuck. Fine. I got to talk shit about the Jews? Fuck. All right, there we go. You know what I mean? It's like I was looking for people who emulated blackness, and then I conformed to that attitude. Oh fuck! Okay, this kind of a joke here is a black guy who tips, right? I'm part of the I consider myself a member of the black guy who tips community, and because I'm part of the community, I got a tip. I'm getting bad service. Nope, I'm a black guy who tips. All right, fuck it. All right, I don't want Rod and Karen to look down on me. But I remember when I got to a point where I was like, where you show up to the restaurant and take out motherfucker, like McDonald's asking for tips. I'm like, yo, suck my dick. But there was a part of me that was like, no, I gotta conform to the rules. I didn't like standing up. I didn't like. It's amazing, you know. Shout out to my therapist because she brought it out. She brought it out of me. She said, you weren't meant to fit in. And what's so funny is I spent probably my entire life up until this point trying to fit in. I blame school, man. In school, they were big on the word l'assimilation, assimilate. You show up to Canada, yo, man, cut out that fucking Creole, stand up, you know, and you're now Canadian, fuck your Haitian flag. You better dance to this, you know, you better know the anthem. And you better be, you're one of us now. Fit in or fuck off. So I went by those rules. I tried my, it was hard. I was trying to be Canadian, but I was struggling to be a true Canadian, but I'm like, fuck, problem is, in order for me to be Canadian, I gotta deny my black side. I didn't know how to be black and Canadian. Like, it never occurred to me that, nah, you're defining. You get to decide your Canadian experience. Part of my, and be able to say, yo, part of my Canadian experience, like, embrace that shit. Look, for the amount of fucking taxes I paid in this goddamn country, I'm holding on to this goddamn identity. I may not be like famous white Canadian, whatever, right? But I'm more like, I'm the pioneer in my version of being a Canadian. I don't know if that makes sense to some of you, but it's, fuck, okay, you know what? It's so funny. I was born to be an outcast. The more I think about it, even I've been trying to fit in. My parents immigrated here from Haiti and gave birth to me in Montreal. And it's funny, I've never felt like I had a country. Haitian people didn't think I was a real Haitian. Canadians didn't think I was a real Canadian. Like, that's been my entire, like, I've been comfortable with feeling like an outcast. I should mention, I forgot to put this in my notes, that a lot of people might be shocked at the idea that you're an outcast. And that's more of an example of how good I was. I convinced I was in fitting in. I don't know. At least I got talent and try to fit in, but it just shit made me miserable. If you want to, so I talked earlier in the episode of how if you want to know the difference between me now and me before, is this version of me values inner peace. Second thing I'm going to add is this version of me now is going to try to go through life being comfortable with the idea that he's an outcast. Fuck fitting in. I mean, it's easy to say that out loud, but that's what I'm practicing. But ever since from the moment I decided the title of today's episode was gonna be related to Big Rube said on that Outkast album, the moment I decided that, a freedom came on me. It was like came on me, disgusting. There's a freedom that. There's a certain sense of freedom of accepting the fact that, B, you're not meant to fit in. Fuck them. Fuck trying to fit in. See, the thing with being from Ottawa, it's not just me. It's the culture. Fitting in. I used to joke about when I would see an out-of-towner, and how I knew it was the out-of-towner. I'm like, yeah, you're not a Xerox. You're not trying to fit in. The second I would see someone not trying to fit in, being an individual, punk styles, admitting out loud, yeah, you know, I'm more into the same sex. I'm like, yeah, you sure you're from Ottawa? That's how I knew. That's what made you different. It's an old habit to try to abandon. I think I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm committing to live this lifestyle of being an outcast, of standing out, being my own person. I'm saying that, but I'm saying it's still going to be a challenge because, you know, old habits die hard. Was that the expression? Oh, my favorite is on my journey into standing out is because I'm thinking about this whole blackness thing, right? Even as I grew up to be a proud black man, I'm realizing that I conform to this fake notion of being of what it meant to be a black person. Because, you know, again, black Canadian, we stand out from black Americans. I have this funny story how when I was in growing up as a kid, primary school, I don't know what you guys call it in the States or outside, but primary school, grade 1 to grade 6, and junior high, grade 1 to grade 8. My school, I was surrounded by white people. All my class pictures, I'm not one or the second black guy in that picture, right? I was a sea full of white people. And I felt, of course, I was trying to fit in, but it didn't work. It's hard to fit in when people are calling you nigger. Anyways, so it bothered me that I stood out. Yeah, it bothered me. So I made sure that the high school that I went to had a lot of black people because I wanted to be around my people. And what's amazing about that experience is finally I go to high school surrounded by black people. I don't know how long it took me to be like, fuck. The same shit I complained about white people, the same I was complaining about black people. I was now complaining about black people. And I was like, okay, well, the problem is everyone else, not me. My point is, even when I started surrounding myself by black people, I managed to still feel like I was an outcast. Now, I want to be very clear. By Ottawa standards, it sounds like I'm saying, oh, so you're saying you were a reject. No, I'm saying I'm embracing the fact that I'm a unique individual. I'm embracing it, but I'm still practicing it. And shout out to this. Look, I'm on this motherfucking podcast. Talking in a microphone. To an audience of potentially zero. I don't care. But I mean, yeah, I do weird shit. I used to hate being told I do weird shit. Now I'm saying, fuck it. Let them say. Let them talk about you. Let them misunderstand you. Be a villain in their story. I say this out loud. Right? This is me talking shit right now. I say this out loud, but it still fucks with me. I'm still practicing being an individual. And if you're like listening to this and like, I'm gonna help you be an individual by dissing you, no, I don't need your help. Okay, let me do this journey by myself. Actually, no, you'll just get dismissed. I don't need that kind of negative energy in my life. Anyway, yeah, no, I'm just saying, I think I'm just gonna raise this water bottle to all us outcasts out there, making the world go round, contributing our originality to this world, and fuck it, right? Regardless, we're all, there's only so much time in this world. Like, in the end, we're all going, I remember it hit me, man. In the end, we're all heading towards the same destination, which is the grave. Valar Morghulis, all men must die. All you can control is how you die. And I hope I get better at being an individual. Better. I get better at being that weird guy. You know what? This is going to go on my list of favorite episodes because I laugh, because of how emotional I'm getting. Like, I'm celebrating here. It's, I don't have a clip for that. So, yes. So, to the question,
are you an outcast?
The answer is a solid I was going to say pathetic, passionate. Look at me trying to sound like I speak English very well. Is emphatically, is that the word? I mean, it's a strong yes. It's yes. It's a fucking yes. All right. I do. I'm an outcast. I'd suck my dick if you went down. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. This concludes today's episode. I think that's what I was trying to say. This acknowledgement of being an outcast is empowering. That's what I was trying to. All right, okay. Woo! I had fun this episode. I was getting late. I got to be at late work tomorrow morning, but, you know, fuck them crackers. All right. Okay, like I said, check out the show notes. They're broken down into four sections. The first three represent the acts of this episode, and the last one is other links. It's a bunch of links that I just thought were cool. One of them, my favorite one in there is... Monique responds to Shalon. Yeah, fuck that. My favorite one is the last one. It goes, liberals need conservative. It's a dude doing stand-up comedy. I need to reply to that guy and say, yo, that's my favorite. He's been posting a lot of his stand-up clips on Reddit, and this is by far my favorite one, mainly because he used comedy as a vehicle to explain that, yeah, you might talk shit about conservative people, but we're people too. Anyway, and he did it using humor, so I very much appreciate it. Oh, and there's something else about, man, this Palestine shit is fucking with me, man. Anyway, whatever, man. I'll make it another discussion. Damn, my eyes are dry. All right, okay. This concludes today's episode. Again, if you want to holler at me, you can go on the social medias. I need a slang for social media. You know, on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, look for @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, go to @ShutUpPodcast.com. But, if you're really serious about finding me on these internet streets, you know what I mean? You want to start some beef? Show up to ShutUpPodcast.com. What was that? I said ShutUpPodcast.com. Repeat one more time for people who need to hear it three times so they can remember. I said ShutUpPodcast.com. It's my headquarters. Mon quartier général. You can email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. I'm going to try that articulating. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. It's a good thing I'm not recording this. And then, parce que j'ai des babines, mes babines sont, and whatever. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, Amazon podcasts, and all these great places where you can find podcasts except Spotify. I kind of feel like making it my thing. That's going to be my that's gonna, be my shtick. The podcast that's not on Spotify. Even though Spotify has now like dominated the podcast game. Ain't that a bitch? All right, okay. Hey yo, no, seriously, man. Thank you for listening. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.